Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 27th of October, recording at 9:03 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. But first, let's just have a quick review of the week. This was the week in which stock markets continued to push higher for the most part, led by Europe and the United States, and began to look overstretched. We've been talking about that in the last few days. And it's also the week in which Wall Street finally succumbed to some profit-taking, which was here today. Government bonds steadied after the early selling pressure that they had seen steadied this week. And this was the week in which the US dollar took a tumble. And that could be important. It was also the week in which precious metals steadied again, albeit within ranging patterns, but the ranging looks more like support building than prior to a further rally than distribution prior to another sell-off. And most importantly, perhaps, in terms of implications, and well, I'll leave it there. This was the week in which the oil complex provided some upside evidence that it was in a bottoming out process. Prior to that, we had only seen a loss of downside momentum. And this was the week in which grains and beans extended their barnstorming rallies. Okay, now let's get back to the big picture theme here. Short-term stock markets are mildly overbought, particularly in the US and in the United States. A little bit overstretched, as I said, and they're susceptible to a little bit of a pullback and consolidation, but there is no real deterioration evident here in markets. That might develop, that can always develop. We have to be on alert for every possibility. But at this stage, I'm not looking for more than a little bit of a pullback and consolidation to correct this over short-term overbought condition. And it is unlikely to affect all markets unless Wall Street throws in a big downside day. It's only seen a modest decline in here today. 73 down on the Dow, 1174 on the S&P. Those are not big percentages, certainly under 1%. And the NASDAQ with a little bit bigger fall, 1.2% on the NASDAQ composite. Okay, so possibly a bit more correction consolidation than we've seen in the last couple of months in store, but otherwise not too bad a picture overall. But I have said I can see the storm clouds out there on the horizon, and more about those. Well, I should mention them right now. Storm clouds out on the horizon, oil prices. They may range here in a support building phase. That's what I've been saying. That's what I still think is likely to be the case. But they have bottomed. And I think people who were hoping for 50 or lower are going to be disappointed. And that may affect sentiment somewhat. On the other hand, in the trade-offs, bond markets, the bond market has done a little bit better in here recently, so that's taken a little pressure off. Not that there is that much pressure, but nevertheless, that's the bond market is not currently a storm cloud. What about the dollar? I don't think this will have a negative effect because people will say, well, the dollar was a little bit too firm, and with the dollar coming down, that will help American international companies when they consolidate their earnings, so that will help to sustain profits. That feeling would change if this decline, which is sharper than some of the others that we've seen, albeit very much within a range and from the top of the dollar's range against the US dollar index. I'll post that chart when I get around to it. I haven't quite completed the comment of the day today. Certainly, if the dollar were to break down out of its current trading range, that might well weigh on sentiment a little bit. Precious metals have firmed up. That's another possible storm cloud. But hey, gold at $600 is a long way away from the 735 I think that it had reached back in May. So these storm clouds are visible on the horizon, but only just. They're on the distant horizon here, and this is not a time to have a sleepless weekend in worrying about stock market positions, in my view. And I maintain that the overall environment is quite bullish and likely to remain so. And for the most part, small consolidation aside, through the end of the year and probably well into 2007, which I expect to be a good year. I do feel that if we consolidate those storm cloud factors, that there will be a little bit of an inflation problem at some point in 2007. In other words, I'm not in the sharp slowdown of GDP growth category. I've said already before on a number of occasions that I felt the lower oil price has already created conditions for the soft landing, and that maybe the thinking ahead here, maybe the economic contraction that we've seen, small though it is around the globe, that has reached a low point and is has flattened out and will start to rise a little bit. But we won't see the evidence of that, I think, until some of the fourth quarter figures start coming in. And of course, most of those will come in the first quarter of 2000 and 2007. So overall, for stock markets, a reasonably bullish environment overall. Now, what do we like in stock markets most of all? Well, I like the Asian emerging markets. I think we've put some powerful fundamental evidence up on the site in the last week, earlier than that as well. But some of the reports that one from Northern Trust, I think it is, Paul Kreisel, I'm not quite sure how you pronounce his surname, but it's a terrific report. And then we had another report, I think it was by Kazanov, which showed the strength really of the Asian emerging markets in terms of those countries' balance sheets. And I really, really like that sector, as you know, Asian emerging markets. Now, what we've also seen, and I mentioned all along, is that some other Asian markets have outperformed them, although not that many have outperformed India. But some of them have had some pretty strong runs over the last 3 years or more. And that's fine. I like the Asian, I beg your pardon, I like the emerging market sector generally. But the point I'm trying to make here is that in terms of risk, I think it's lower in Asia. And in terms of potential, I think that the long-term growth potential is absolutely outstanding. I don't think there's any better long-term growth potential than in Asia. So thus my strong overweighting and strong bias in favor of that sector and heavy overweighting in my own personal portfolio. And again, we get back to this issue of risk. I wrote a piece in the week, once burned, twice shy, and I was talking about that 87, I beg your pardon, 97-98 Asian crisis. And that really spooked investors, particularly since Wall Street was doing so well, and therefore many of the European markets were doing so well. And just when people felt that perhaps they could go back in the water and the Asian markets were starting to look quite good again, then of course we had the Nasdaq collapse and they all came hammering down again. So people have been a little bit more cautious despite the good gains that we have seen in recent years. So on valuation terms, any way you tend to measure it, Asia looks pretty good overall. The main exception to that on the valuations basis is India. And people look at the valuations there that are higher than they see in the rest of Asia. But India's valuations are really sort of pretty much in line with what you see on Wall Street. And I know, the US, great place to do business. It's certainly going to hold on to that reputation. But if we take a 10-year view, which country is going to have the best growth rate? Well, I put it this way, forgive the vulgarism, but India will have to screw up in a pretty big way, not to have a vastly superior growth rate. I wouldn't be surprised if it has the best growth rate over the next decade, although China and Vietnam will certainly give it a run for its money. Okay, not to digress too much. In here, I really, really do like the industrial resources sector overall, and we had a nice timely buying opportunity. That big shakeout that we saw in the in the major diversified industrial mining companies, well, they've clearly bottomed, and we're getting the failed head and shoulders patterns now. I would not be surprised if their upward march continues right on back up through the highs. And I agree with Donald Cox on this sector, so I don't need to repeat all the arguments, but I'm very pleased to announce that his report will appear in comment of the day today, and a very good one it is, as it always is. Such a good read. So I really do like that sector, and I feel that with oil very likely to be in a bottoming out phase here, and oil is still in a long-term secular bull market, that I well that this correction that we've seen, I do feel that it has created another buying opportunity. Now, I have a very substantial position in the Timothy Guinness funds. That's the Guinness Atkinson and the Investec. There's the two Investec Global Energy funds. One is dollar denominated. That was the original one. It's in Guernsey, listed in Guernsey, and the other one is in listed in the UK. That was the most recent one that was launched. The first one launched, I believe, was the Guernsey one, then Guinness Atkinson in the USA. But that's the way. As I say, I have a very substantial personal investment in that fund. There's no way I'm going to sell that. And if it wasn't such a big position overall, I'd be adding to it in here. The point I'm trying to make is that I feel this is very much in a buying range, and I've been saying that recently. Okay. Government bonds. Well, while the oil price remains, say, in the low 60s, let alone lower, that will be a favorable background for government bonds as long as people are still weighing up the impact of the housing correction in the United States on the US economy, and as long as people are still weighing up the implications of China's tightening of short-term interest rates in terms of a bit of a slowdown for the Chinese economy. As long as people are listening to the Fed, which says that inflationary pressures should be declining, this sort of thing, the bond markets aren't going to get into too much trouble. But the long-term charts do not look good for bond bulls, that is, and I don't like this sector, too much supply around. We are in a major long-term inflationary cycle created by all that excess liquidity that the central banks are throwing around, and they're doing that because they fear deflation far more than they fear inflation. And at the bond yield reaction lows that we saw, oh, that was in the US, that was a few weeks ago, for most of the markets, it was about a month ago, they were pretty much priced for perfection, I think, in terms of in terms of inflation. I do not like that sector. I think we're in the early stages of a secular bear market for long-dated government bonds. And I certainly will avoid it except for shorting from time to time. And if they rally up a little bit further in the current market environment, I may well be tempted to open another short position. But this has been an environment where one has been spoiled for choice here, I feel, following the big May-June correction. And so I've concentrated elsewhere in my efforts elsewhere, as you know. I don't want to have too many positions overall, or I get stressed trying to monitor them all. Okay, precious metals. They are good value at this level, in my view. The chart patterns have looked very, very iffy. There's a fair amount of cautious, if not outright negative, sentiment around, and there are a lot of bulls, but those bulls are saying that they want to buy at 500 or 450. I'm talking about gold, of course. Well, I don't think they're going to see it, and I think that gold is, and the others are getting ready for another move on the upside, and that will quite possibly go hand in hand, or it'll be leading oil. But oil's the big influence currently, as I've mentioned before. The dollar is also an influence, and that's certainly turned quite positive for precious metals. The oil has gone from being quite negative to at least neutral for the precious metal sector, and I wouldn't be at all surprised to see gold push above the psychological $600 level next week, and to hold that, and for that move to then start to gather momentum. That's why I've increased my longs in precious metals in here, and I remain a big long-term bull of that sector. And oil. Well, I think there's a very good chance that we will see oil get back up and test its highs at some stage next year. Now, and again, secular bull market. The industrial metals have been absolutely phenomenal. Veteran subscribers will know how bullish I've been of this sector overall, but they continue to surprise on the upside. And that's a hallmark of a bull market, of a really good bull market. Most of the surprises are on the upside. But we had those big accelerations. Those are type 1 endings, and indeed they were endings, because then we had quite sharp pullbacks in a number of those industrial metals, and then they've been ranging, and some of them are still ranging. Copper, for instance, the pattern looks risky. But so did zinc a few months ago. Big upward acceleration, sideways ranging, but it did not capitulate and break down. Instead, it's pushed up to new high ground. And there's news to back that. And this is not hedge fund activity that's doing this. The hedge funds are partying elsewhere because I think most people just look at these metal prices in awe and with a little bit of fear, and not least the mining companies overall. The sector will remain volatile overall, but I've stressed over and over again, the importance of 5.5 billion people in the developing world all going for it. The prospect, Donald Cox mentions this figure in his October issue of Basic Points, that within the next decade we will see 1 billion people in Asia who would be classified as middle class. What's middle class mean? It means you've got your house with your hot running water and your indoor plumbing, and you've got your machines that we take for granted, the washing machines and the stoves and so on. And these people are also planning to or already own an automobile, and they want all the other metal-intensive goods that we take for granted. So, and then there's all that infrastructure building. That's a huge source of demand for these metals. So I maintain, as I have all along, that this is a commodity super cycle. It will be the biggest of all time. And it's going to run for at least another 20 years. And when we try to connect all the dots here and look at what will influence what, terms of market action, that will be, of course, one of the sources of the inflationary pressures that will weigh on bonds, make government bonds the least attractive investment class overall. And globalization's competitive pressures will keep people. Well, sorry, we'll keep central banks in a mode of easing monetary conditions more often than not, keeping plenty of liquidity in the system, in other words, and because the background that they fear most of all will be deflationary pressures, which we will see certainly in manufacturing and some service areas, and they will also fear currency strength, so they'll want to keep their currencies relatively soft as well. And Donald Cox in the report today makes a very sound point here, and you've heard variations on this from me over the last few years. But that all the competition, he said, he said, you don't want to have your portfolio heavily weighted in the areas where there's going to be the greatest competition. Where might that be? Well, technology is one classic example. Manufacturing is another classic example. Just unbelievably intense competition. You want to have your money in that boring old stuff, where there are shortages. Metals, energy, water. Okay. The grain and bean complex. This is very important, what the strength that we're seeing in here right now, and it's occurring against a background of reducing global supplies, increasing consumption overall, and at a time when for many countries acreage has been reduced, partly because intensive rather. Farming techniques and improved crop yields made it quite possible to provide enough to provide surpluses to requirement with less land. But it creates a situation where you can appreciate, with demand continuing to rise, something goes wrong on the supply side, usually adverse weather conditions, and you get explosive moves on the upside, and we appear to be moving in that direction for a number of these agricultural commodities, and that will add to the inflationary pressures. from time to time. So you look at the economic situation well out. Emerging markets will continue to have the best growth overall. They're benefiting from commodities, and they're also benefiting from the switch to the huge and irreversible swing to fully capitalistic economic systems. And that enables them to, from their low bases in terms of manufacturing costs, it enables them and other any costs, wages costs, so on, to grow very, very rapidly. And so that's where the growth is going to occur. In the developed countries, they can still do reasonably okay, but we will see some bouts of stagflation from time to time. And that's a problem for the future. So again, that favors emerging market stock markets over the developed country stock markets. But I've already said that, so in case you think I'm just going to repeat the whole thing, I'll say, but it will also create, that stagflation will create more volatility in stock markets. So resources, one of the very most bullish areas, along with emerging markets, developed country stock markets, not too bad, far better than government bonds, which are the worst asset. Any inflation hedge in general is likely to do not too badly, except when they get too far ahead of themselves, as house prices in the UK, in the United States, have certainly done. And when they get too far ahead of themselves, they're not going to crash in this environment. And define crash. Can they come down by a third? Well, in some instances, although that would be the outside of in terms of the larger corrections. But they can certainly they will be prone after strong moves on the upside, just like any other market, to a leveling out and to corrections, which are mostly going to be well below the 30% figure that I just mentioned, but they are also likely to underperform perhaps for quite some time, and I think that's the situation that we're in right now with the US housing and with the UK housing, although London's a little bit of a special situation because being the global financial capital now. So what other inflation hedges might there be, and all those people who are interested in commodities but don't want to play the futures markets. Something I wouldn't do because it's not my thing, but agricultural farmland, provided that it's in a politically stable area where it's not going to be nationalized or redistributed to some other ethnic group, and provided that it has a reliable, clean water source, that could be quite an attractive investment area. Okay, I think I'm going on long enough. So that's a wrap. I will wish you an exceptionally good weekend. I've got lots of cultural events on this weekend and next week, which I'm looking forward to enormously, and I hope you will be having at least as much fun as I will be having. All the best.